York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, yes, indeed. Hi, how are you? Welcome. Yes, we're here. You're there. Welcome to the big radio show on this Tuesday, the third day of July, year of our Lord 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and so if you hear some big booms and we go off the air, it's because we're having a doozy of a lightning storm outside right now. But we have gone uphill both ways in the lightning storm to get here today to do this. So, and a lot of people are missing. The markets have already closed. They closed 2 hours ago, 1 o'clock Eastern time. And the local trains and everything else are running extra trains at 1 o'clock this afternoon so that people could get out. And so people are on the way to enjoy. This is the problem with having the 4th of July in the middle of the week, which I want to bring up with you. I've got a whole bunch of 4th of July topics to bring up, one of which is I thought they went through and said, we're going to make all holidays on Monday so that we have three-day weekends. And they did that with a bunch of stuff, President's Day and all these other things. So I know people call it the 4th of July, and I've got some great material for you about people that were asked about what is the 4th of July all about. It's fascinating. It's kind of scary. But anyway, we'll get into all of that as we go through the program. Let's start with something serious. We got a lot of, actually quite a bit of news today. We've got the president firing off a stern letter to NATO allies. Next week he's going to Europe to meet with the NATO crowd again. It's their annual Gab Fest, and the last time he was there was the first time they really had a chance to get to know him, and they were all flabbergasted. So he's going back, but before he goes back to that, and then he leaves them and goes directly from the NATO leaders of the countries that make up the NATO, then he's going directly from there to go meet Vladimir Putin. So it's going to be a busy week, international week next week. So before he goes, he sends individual letters off to the NATO leaders, and what he is saying is, hey, last year I told you that there are a bunch of you, 25 countries, that have not yet met their agreement. We all agreed when we started NATO that you would pay, we would pay, everybody would pay 2% of your GDP for NATO. And he basically is calling them freeloaders, which they are, and the one who can easily afford it and is not doing anything about it is Germany. I mean, there's others as well, but last year only 4 members of the 25 countries met the 2% goal. We exceeded it by, I think, 2.3% or something like that. So it's us, Great Britain, Greece, yes, Greece, and Estonia. So what about it, France? What about it, Germany? What about it, I mean, Italy, Spain, go through the list. So President Trump wrote to Angela Merkel and said, the United States continues to devote more resources to the defense of Europe when the continent's economy, including Germany, are doing well and security challenges abound. This is no longer sustainable for us. I like it. I mean, he's blunt. I know, you know, people are still rocking on their heels about the fact how blunt he is, but he's right. Why are we picking up their bill? And furthermore, I have a deeper question for you. We have tens of thousands of troops that are stationed in Europe. There's 34,000 in Germany. I know. There's supposed to be a military reason for it. Well, if there's a big military reason for it, then let me ask you something. Why doesn't Germany provide their own military? Why don't they beef up their... I know. The Germans, I'll tell you, you can't let them... Yes, you can. And then, in the George W. Bush administration, good old Vladimir marched right on into the country of Georgia. And what did we do about it? What did we do? We have our troops there because of the former Soviet threat, now the Russian threat. That's what they say. We got our troops there. Boy, I tell you, in case they do anything, I mean, we're right there. Well, they did something. They marched into Georgia and took over the country. What did we do about it? That's right. Very good. Nothing. Then they marched into Crimea and took Crimea back. And what did we do in the Obama years? Nothing. Ukraine, Eastern Ukraine, nothing. So what are we doing there? Why do we have these troops there if we don't use them? So he's not the only one. The president's not the only one. He's got all these, you know, he's causing a ruckus about trade, and we'll get into that and everything else that goes along with it. But his style is more confrontational than other presidents, because other presidents have just said, what do I care? I don't care about the money. And I guess it's more than the money, it's the principle of the thing. So this NATO alliance has been going now for 69 years. So it started right after the end of World War II. And there was, I'll go back. This is former Defense Secretary Robert Gates. He was giving a speech in 2011 to the NATO folks. And he made a prediction that is maybe coming true, is that in the future, the United States may not feel as obligated to contribute so much to NATO.
If current trends in the decline of European defense capabilities are not halted and reversed, future U.S. political leaders, those for whom the Cold War was not the formative experience that it was for me, may not consider the return on America's investment in NATO worth the cost.
Well, he nailed it. He says, we remember the Cold War, but there's future leaders that are coming to the United States, that are going to be running the United States, that the Cold War wasn't that important to them, and they're going to look at you and wonder, what is the reason for all of this? So Colonel Jack Jacobs weighs in on the military side of this and says the Russian threat to Europe, he thinks, is a genuine concern.
Well, we have early warning for any kind of Russian incursion. You know, the threat to Europe has been there since the end of the Second World War, and it hasn't really changed. A lot of people thought that when the Berlin Wall came down in 89, that the Soviet threat would stop and there wouldn't be any Russian threat. But, you know, all you have to do is take a look at events in the last few years, look at what happened in Crimea, Soviet aggression toward Ukraine, and in particular, their posturing on the border with the Baltic states, and you get some idea of the fact that the Russian threat is genuine, it's real, and it needs to be countered or blunted by American presence. Not only that, we're there so that we can test our defense plans with the NATO allies, interoperability, to prevent any problems later on.
All right. I have great respect for the colonel, but he's just flat hallucinating. He brought up Crimea. He brought up the Baltic states. He brought up eastern Ukraine. What did our troops do that are stationed there to be on guard, to be the backstop so that Russia doesn't do these things? Vladimir Putin could not care less, because he knows we're not going to do anything. Or we certainly did not do anything under the W's administration, under Obama's administration. So this may surprise you, but Admiral John Kirby, who was a State Department spokesman for the Obama years, He says the president is not wrong to bring up the problem of burden sharing.
I think it's a very calculated move by the president to shape the agenda for the summit, to make sure that burden sharing becomes a top priority when he sits down with his NATO colleagues in Brussels. And look, the president isn't wrong. President Bush complained about burden sharing. President Obama complained about it. And Trump, you know, he's not wrong to make the case that the United States does contribute far more proportionally to the burden of NATO expenditures, mm-hmm. something like 70%, than anybody else. That said, he also has to keep in mind he's meeting with Putin a few days later. And you don't want to make the summit all about burden sharing. And you don't want to give Putin the impression that we're balking on our NATO commitments, or that Putin has successfully caused disunion and dissension within the Western democracy bloc.
Well, 2 points. One is, is NATO a tool from the past that doesn't work and isn't used, and it's in the toolbox somewhere, but nobody knows where it is, and it's rusty? Nobody's doing anything about anything regarding Russia because of our troops being in Europe. Nothing would make Vladimir Putin happier than to have American troops out of Europe. It would make him very happy. But I don't think it will change the equation. I think he does whatever he wants to do regardless. He can march into the Baltic states and take back some of those Baltic states and just dare the world to do something about them. But we're paying, as you heard Admiral Kirby, we're paying 70% of the cost of NATO. And yeah, it's a lot of money, but the worst part is the people who promised that they would pay their fair share are not. And bottom line is, do you think NATO is a rusty old tool? Do you think we should stay a member of NATO? And do you think it's high time that we leave or pull back our American troops that are stationed all over Europe, primarily Germany? What's your thoughts? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can find the number at TomSullivan.com.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
So we're kind of jumping ahead to next week a little bit because the president's going to be going to NATO. And I mean, he's already said to them on trade the last time he was together with them. He told the story the other day. He said, yeah, so I'm sitting there talking to everybody in NATO, and he says, I thought, well, I got an idea. Why don't we all drop our tariffs to zero? No tariffs among us, our countries. We won't charge any tariffs. I won't charge you. You don't charge me. And they all looked at him, and their jaws dropped and went, what's next on the subject? But he's got it. I mean, why not? Why are we charging I know why we're charging tariffs, but wouldn't you like it? If you're really a free trader, you will say, yeah, put the best foot forward, and if you win, great. I know we are the big dog in the world when it comes to that, but at the same time. So he's going to go meet with them and say, hey, I called you guys out last year. He's like the bill collector. He's not going away. Can you pay your bills, please? So the question then becomes, will he recommend that we get out of NATO? I don't know how we get out. I don't know if the president can get us out or whether the dysfunctional kids in Congress have to do something. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Should we pull out of NATO? Is it a useless, feckless organization that like the UN? Talk to Denny in California. Denny, hi. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
I think, pull out of NATO. I spent time in Germany in the Army. I've spent time deployed with NATO, and it's a joke. It's a farce. Pull them out, put them under the Homeland Security of civilians, and stick them down on the southern border. There's your problem solved.
Oh. Wow, give them a new job. Well, there's I know there's 30-some thousand in Germany alone. I don't know what the total number of the NATO countries, how many troops we have in all 25 countries, but I know it's more than just about paying the bill. We paid the bill because we thought it was important. But seriously, what have we done? What has NATO done to stop Russia or the Soviets or anybody in the last 50, 60, 69 years? What have they done? Nothing. Not one thing.
And the one thing that the U.S. likes NATO, likes being in charge of NATO, so when we deploy, they put a U.S. general in charge. If we didn't pay the highest amount, then we'd have a Spanish general or a French general or a different country general in charge of your deployment.
Well, when you deployed under NATO, under a NATO operation, what was it like a training exercise or what was it?
No, it was Kosovo.
Oh, Kosovo. Okay. Yes. What's the guy, the general in charge of the white-haired guy who ran for president? What's his name? I forget right now. But the Serbs and the Croatians were going at each other, and we decided to go in there. Did we make a difference?
Well, we were playing the part of the official in a boxing match, basically. And the difference that we made was we halted them from beating each other up, basically.
So NATO did something. They actually stopped a war or helped.
NATO stopped whatever needed to be stopped as a peacekeeping force.
Yeah. Well, all right. So they did something. They did something in Kosovo, and I'm glad to hear that you were part of it. Maybe there's other things like that that I'm not familiar with, but I look and I go, it's supposed to be stopping the big boogeyman over in Russia, and I don't think Russia cares two hoots about whether countries are NATO or not NATO. They're going to do whatever they're going to do, I think.
Yeah, another NATO deployment's the Sinai Peninsula, so you got to look at that, too.
Wow. All right, so there are some deployments out there. Maybe there can be another way to help out when there's a world problem like that. But, all right, but you're for pulling out. You want them to leave, take the troops, put them on the border, make them Homeland
That's
Security.
It.
All right. Denny, thank you. I appreciate your call. 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. You can also find the number and all the contacts for the show at TomSullivan.com.
Prime time, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, it is. Stupid People Hour coming up. You don't want to miss that. It's a lot of... it's hilarious, but it's sad, so we'll have some stupid people for you coming up later in the program. Talking about NATO, and the president's going there next week, and he's sending out letters to all the NATO leaders saying, would you please pay your bills? You're not. We're paying 70% of the freight. And I'm looking at it and going, besides the money part of it, why are we there? We haven't done anything. Well, okay, we had some peacekeeping missions, and great for the last caller, and we got in there to Kosovo and separated the Serbs and Croatians. They've hated each other for hundreds of years, so that's just a temporary pause. But still, good. That was good news. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Should we just bring our troops home? Say, bye-bye, NATO. You're on your own, Europe. You're on your own. You wouldn't pay the bills? We take the service away. You don't pay the electric company, they shut off your lights. Bob sends me an email, says, you can find my email address at my website, TomSullivan.com. Says, many years ago, I said we should bring our troops home. The key point, thousands of American graves in France. When we get to when we went to get Gaddafi, France would not let us fly over their country. As a result, we lost a plane and crew never to be found. Then I think of all the troops that go into towns and spend money, a great boost for their economy. That money could be spent here, and we would not keep closing our bases here. Get the troops home. How about it, Clayton? Thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
Mixed feeling. I think that if we don't keep troops over there, Russia will continue to expand. They're nutty people with a nutty professor. On the other hand, if we're paying most of the bill, then it's kind of nuts for us to be over there. So I think Trump's right. Tell them, hey, we'll match you for what you're paying. If you don't think you're worth saving, fine. We don't think you're worth saving either. The only problem with that is that Russia will take over or Europe all over again, and then we're going to be down that much further. And we've got enough problems with our own basically civil war coming up where we're going to lose control over large parts of our own country and have trouble with China and Russia after that. So we're kind of facing a tough time. But
so you think we're going to have a civil war here? Let me go back to that real quick, because I asked the other day about that, and I said, how are we going to have a civil war? I'm not quite sure. Well, it was easy when you had the Mason-Dixon line. You said, okay, there's the North, there's the South, and go at each other. But how do we do it when it's your brother or your cousin or your next-door neighbor or your boss or your – I mean, we all have different viewpoints. How are we going to have a civil war with each other?
You're old enough to remember the riots of the mid-60s.
Sure.
And it's going to turn out that way. People are going to shoot each other. They're going to ambush each other. There's going to be attacks because there's just some pretty radical people. Doesn't matter on the right or the left. The alts on both sides are the crazies.
Well, there are some of those things already showing up. People, I will get into it, but they're protesting. What did I see? One of my Twitter feeds, I haven't had a chance to verify it, but something about the fact that there was some huge human trafficking ring in California that ICE was busting, and protesters were outside protesting ICE while they were busting a human trafficking ring.
There's a large issue going up Interstate 80 through California of trafficking. I was in Nevada City, you know where that is, over the weekend, and I had the opportunity to go out and speak/harass a little bit with the folks standing out there. And to tell you the truth, a lot of them were, how can you separate people? Well, we've seen that with the Obama thing, so there's no sense in touching on that. But these are the same people that are going to protest anything if it's not abortion.
But protesting is as old as our country, and we celebrate your right to protest.
Yeah, but they're getting pretty ugly about it now.
No, they're just are they getting ugly, or is it that you don't agree with their viewpoints?
No, I was out there, and some people I had civil conversations with, others were, yelling at me.
Yeah.
And it was getting really nasty, like, how dare we, separate moms from their kids? And I'm going, so what happens with...
You were not out there debating people on the streets about that, were you? You were.
Yeah, a couple I were.
Why?
Because I wanted to find out why they felt so strongly about what they did, and if they had any common
sense. It's emotional. It's emotional. There's no foundation there other than emotion. They're emotional about it, and it's been going on from administration to administration. It's ugly. It's terrible. I don't like it either. But you're not going to debate somebody on a street and expect them to be nice to you. That's all. You're wasting your time, I think. But you had the right to do it, too. They had the right to their opinion. You have the right to yours. But, all right, Clayton, thank you. Let's back to NATO. Maybe you think Putin will become more aggressive if we're not having troops somewhere in Europe. I don't think it makes any difference to him. Should we pull out of NATO? Eric, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment here on the NATO thing. I was actually in a NATO unit when I was in the Air Force for 3 years.
And, oh, good.
You know, I can understand, you know, when NATO was first established, you know, Europe was in shambles, you know, and they needed our backing to sustain them.
Sure.
Because, of course, you had the big red bear there in the east. But as time going along, as far as, you know, covering that 70% of the budget, I think time has come along. You know, Europe's a lot stronger than what it used to be. So I think I think NATO is important to an extent, but they also need to pay their fair share.
So let me ask you about, you know, if it wasn't classified, you joined the U.S. Air Force, right?
Correct.
You did not join NATO. You didn't join the French Foreign Legion. You joined the United States Air Force. How did you wind up in NATO? And who were you reporting to?
It was an assignment, and it's part of there was a U.S. contingent at this base, along with all the other different militaries. And the good thing, and what was cool is the actual military folks that I dealt with were great from the other countries. Of course, France, they're not part of NATO, though, so there's no French people. The civilians, no, that was a whole different story. I mean, there was a huge civilian contingent that was on that base. And that was a little bit different to deal with because they had their unions and they had different – It was a melding of two things, the civilians and the military.
France is one of the founding countries of NATO, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think they, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they fund because they're not really.
Oh, they left. They left NATO. They were one of the founders. They left. Well, if they left, what are we waiting for?
Yeah. I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think NATO was really part of. They kind of did their own thing. They don't want to have anything to do with. I think, as far as the funding is concerned, and having their own troops in there. If I'm not mistaken.
That's kind of the question I'm asking too. Kind of the question the president is asking. He's not insinuating we're going to pull out. That's me, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that. I think Bob Gates' speech in 2011 saying. Future leaders in the United States may not find this investment worth their time. Eric, thank you, and thank you for your service to our country. We'll take a short break and be right back. Don't go away. My name is Tom Sullivan.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
President fires off a strongly worded letter, basically a collection letter to the NATO leaders saying, pay your bills. I asked you a year ago, and there's four countries that have lived up to their agreements. U.S., Britain, Greece, and Estonia. By the way, France is back in. Charles de Gaulle pulled France out of NATO in 1966. Arguing that France needed to preserve its independence in world affairs. And so now former French President Sarkozy said, oh, no, we're back in. So they're part of NATO again. So they started it, they bailed, and now they're back in. I don't know why. I hope they're not paying their bill. That's why. Justin in Reno. Justin, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, thanks, Tom. How's it going?
Doing good. What do you got?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was a firefighter in the United States Air Force from 2001 to 2005.
Okay.
I deployed to Afghanistan once, and I also deployed to Gansey Air Base. It's in Kyrgyzstan. And I was told that every time one of our aircraft landed, we had to pay the government there $100,000, and every time it took off, we had to pay that much. Wow. And I don't advocate for socialized medicine. It's terrible. I mean, look at the VA, government run, it's not good. But I wholeheartedly believe that countries like Britain and Italy and Germany have that that capability to pay for it, because they don't have to pay for military. And they haven't had to pay for military for 60, 70 years because
they have a military, but it's not giant. So we're the big dog, right. No question about it. So why are we paying they agreed to this. You join a golf and country club, and they say this is what the dues are every month. And you say, okay, you sign on the line, you go out and you enjoy the golf club every single week, and yet you don't pay your monthly dues. How long before they boot you off?
Not very long. You'd be gone pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think we should be bringing those bases back home and using that money elsewhere. Perhaps continue to build up our military.
The boogeyman is that Russia, we're there to stop Russia. Are we?
I don't think we are anymore. And Germany and Britain and France, they have a military. They have capabilities like we do. I think they should be dealing with that issue if they needed to deal with that issue. You know, we could still have a base or two there, but I don't believe we need to be there in the numbers that we are right now.
Do you think it's possible?
The Air Force alone, there's. Go ahead.
Do you think it's possible that we are being the big daddy, so that they don't spend a lot of money and build up a military, and we saw what happened in the last century, twice, World War, centered in Europe. You know, keep them from, just like Japan, we don't let them have a giant national defense system. We will take care of you because we don't want you getting crazy about starting another World War.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at just the Air Force alone, all right, excluding the Navy, excluding the Army, you've got Lakenheath, Mildenhall air bases in Britain. You've got Ramstein. You've got Spengdahlem in Germany. You've got Aviano Air Force Base in Italy. I mean, there's five giant bases that it's just, to me, I think it's unnecessary. If you want to have one, maybe two there for a present, and then keep one base where it's combined Army and Air Force, but that's the biggest thing, is we are paying for other people's defense.
Yeah.
And as our allies, I'm not saying we shouldn't be there to help them if, you know, something does arise, but we've been doing it for decades. And especially now where we've got a president who stands up for this country and demands that you should be paying your fair share according to this treaty that we've signed.
Yeah.
They should be doing it, no questions asked.
I think that's what gets Trump, is that he's tired of being the doormat and being walked on. So he's saying you got to pay your bill.
We're the piggy bank for the world.
I'm with you. If they get in trouble, we have a pact that we will protect each other. We will come to each other's aid. Fine. If there's some problem, we will come. We'll go running in just like we did in World War II. But in the meantime, I'm with you. Bring him home anyway. Justin, thanks, and thank you for your service as well, very much. I don't know. Seems like a no-brainer to me. I don't know what the fuss is all about. Some of the media are already going, oh, my gosh, he wrote these letters to these people. Okay. Don't pay your bill and see what happens. 855-295-6600. Alan, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we need to leave. The American taxpayers don't need to be paying for Europe's defense. Europe needs to get together and take care of their own defense. We need to remember history. The Romans tried to police the world, and it bankrupted them.
Yeah.
We cannot continue to police the world. It's bankrupting us. We need to take the money, save from defending these other countries and put it back into the American taxpayers' pocket and helping America.
Let's throw Japan in there. You want to?
Yeah, Japan and Korea. How long have we been in Korea for? What, 60 years?
1950 yeah. was when the Korean War started. 60
years. And Japan in 70 years in Japan and Korea. How long are we going to be there? I mean, we are paying for those guys to be over there. They're not doing anything. I mean, we have good intentions, but if the world needs our help and they're in a crisis, we can go and try to help them out. But we don't need to be all over the world spending our money when we need to take care of our own country.
I had a friend of mine. We both were in the Army about the same time, and he got sent to Germany. And I was talking to him about, I went over and visited him over in Germany, and he brought me around to all the great German pubs and we had a wonderful time. He had a great European vacation. So, a couple months go by, and I find out that he has asked for a transfer. This is during the Vietnam War, a transfer to Vietnam. I said, "What?" And he goes, "I am so bored. I am so bored." So I presume my friend was just one of many that they're there, but they're bored stiff. They're not doing anything.
Exactly. I was in the Air Force in England in the 1970s, during Vietnam.
Did you get some serious pub research while you were there?
I did. Some serious pub and some drinking and some carousing and having fun. But just laying around and drinking and just running around, having a good time.
Sounds like a wonderful time. Sounds like the recruiters should maybe use your story and others. Alan, I got to run, but thank you.